Today's scripture reading is from Paul's first letter to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother, Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Christ? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
I'm
pleased that we have entered into the new year.
在新的一年里面的时候，华文部我们有一个新的主题。
And as we enter the new year, there's a new theme for the Mandarin service.
委身基督,
commitment to Christ.
跃进生命,
to cross over to a new life.
然后那个传扬福音,
and to spread the gospel.
在今天早上的时候，我们会从哥林多前书，iPad.
We'll be looking into 1 Corinthians this morning.
我们从哥林多前书第一章到第四章的时候，我们来看委身基督。
And it's taken from chapter 1 to 4. Let's wait a while for the slides to be up.
Okay. 为什么是会选择哥林多前书来看委身基督呢？
And why have we chosen the book of 1 Corinthians?
因为哥林多前书是一个很特别的本书，是保罗对哥林多教会的一个勉励和教导。
Because it's a special book from a letter from Paul to the churches in Corinthians.
然后在第一章到第四章的时候，我们看到说，神能透过这四章的时候，看到那个耶稣基督被高举。
And we can see in chapter 1 to 4 that God has glorified the Lord Jesus Christ.
可是要了解哥林多前书的那个背景的时候，的信息的时候，我们是要了解它的那个背景。But
it's important for us to understand the historical backdrop of the book of Corinthians. Then,
哥林多教会本身是一个繁荣大都市的那个教会。And
the city of Corinthians is a very prosperous city.
如果我们看这个图的时候，我们知道在这里的时候，它是那个巴勒斯坦。
And if we look at the picture above, we can see Palestine.
然后这边的时候有一个安提亚教会。
And we saw the church of Antioch.
保罗就是在这安提亚教会的时候被差遣进入那个其他地方来做宣教。
And Paul was sent from the church of Antioch to the surrounding regions.
我们在去年的时候曾经看过那个加拉太书，这是小亚细亚的那个地区。
And last year we read about the book of Galatians in Asia Minor.
然后保罗可能就是在那个以弗所那个写了哥林多前后书。
And Paul wrote the book of First and Second Corinthians in Ephesians.
保罗曾经想要从在这里的时候往上传福音。
And from Ephesians he wanted to travel north.
可是神就带领他本身就进到了马其顿，所谓的马其顿福神。
But instead, God led him to Macedon.
如果我们看这部分的那个图的时候，我们就可以看到，字稍微比较大。
And now we look at an enlarged picture.
我们很熟悉的那个帖撒罗尼迦那个城。
And we are very familiar with the city of Thessalonica.
保罗曾经在那个雅典就那个护教。
And Paul preach in the city of Athens.
然后那个哥林多教会就在这里。
And the city of Corinthians is in the west.
所以当我们看这个整个那个版图的时候，你会注意到有另外一个地方，就是意大利，就是罗马在那里。
And if we look at the geography, Italy, Rome is on the west.
原本哥林多前城本身是一个蛮繁荣的城，是在那个希腊的帝国以下。
And Corinthians is once under the rule of the ancient Greek Empire.
可是那个意大利呢，之后的时候，他在主前146年的时候，就把整个那个哥林多城，古哥林多城那个毁灭了。
The city of Corinthians was destroyed in B.C. 146.
所以当我们看这个图的时候，我们就发现在图里面有一个叫做那个古城，那个哥林多古城。
And we see in this picture there's some.Where called an old city of Corinthia.
当罗马政府帝国的占领了整个的那个希腊的时候，毁了哥林多那个古城，一百年过后的时候，他们才重建哥林多城。
When the Romans invaded the ancient Greek Empire and destroyed the old Corinthian city, it was only rebuilt after 100 years.
然后那个城就是在另外一个地方，就是现代新的一个哥林多城。
And the new city of Corinthian was built on another place.
在这里的时候，我们会注意到，其实这边有一个运河，叫做哥林多运河。
And we noticed that there's a canal on the northeast.
所以当我们这样看那个地点的时候，你就发现是一个很狭窄的那个运河，可是允许那个船只这样航行。
And we saw a very narrow canal which allowed some ships to pass by.
如果当我们看到这的时候，你就发现这个运河扮演一个很重要的一个角色。
And we noticed that the Corinth Canal played an important role.
当在这里的时候，他们经过的时候，他们不需要绕然后到这里，他们只要经过这个运河，就进到就节省了这一段路。
And ships can just bypass a long distance through the canal.
感觉有点像新加坡。
And it felt a little bit like Singapore.
哥林多城呢，就是在这个地点里面，在这个运河的那个位置。
And the new city of Corinthian is very close to the canal.
所以因着它本身的那一个交通，它成为一个交通的枢纽，就是很重要的一个位置。
And because of the canal, it became a very important transport hub.
它成为旅游和商业的那个重要城市。
And a major city for business and tourism.
因此在那个主前整八世纪之前的时候，其实那个整个的那个哥林多城可以算是希腊最富裕的，还有繁荣的商业大城。
And that city can be considered one of the most prosperous city in the ancient Greek Empire.
然后第二点的时候，我们需要了解的时候，在当时的那个文化背景是希罗文化的背景。
And the social culture there was that of the Greco-Roman backdrop.
原先哥林多哥林多城是属于那个希腊帝国的。
The old Corinthian city belongs to the ancient Greek Empire.
可是之后的时候，罗马帝国更强大的那个罗马帝国呢，就占领了那个希腊帝国。
But the stronger Roman Empire occupied this place.
可是罗马帝国却选择希腊的文化。
But the Romans chose to retain the Greek culture.
所以在当我们本身谈那个时代的时候，通常我们称那个时代叫做希罗时期、希罗文化，
So that period of time was termed as the Greco-Roman age.
是罗马的治理哦，军事的那个制度，可是是希腊的那个思想。
The military framework came from Rome, but the philosophical and civil culture was from Greece.
所以有人就讲说，那个虽然罗马帝国占领了那个希腊帝国，可是希腊帝国的那个思想呢，占领了罗马帝国。
So although the ancient Greece empire was occupied by the Romans, but the culture prevailed.
希腊的文学影响了罗马的那个文学艺术。
And their literature and culture has influenced the Romans.
也影响了他们的哲学，他们的科学。
And also affected their science and philosophy.
在希腊的时候，我们大概知道有些出名的那个哲学家，比如亚里士多德。
And we note that during that period of time, there's a lot of famous Greek philosophers.
从这些的那些哲学家里面的时候，其实对整个希腊和之后的罗马的时候影响很大。
And these philosophers have a great influence on the thinking of the Romans.
在早期教会的时候，有一个护教者叫做寻道者尤斯丁。
In those days, there was a person called Justin.
他讲说，他本身在还没有信主之前的时候，其实他花很多时间研究柏拉图的主义。
He mentioned that before becoming a Christian, he spent a lot of time to learn about Platonism.
因为柏拉图本身的那个思想是要透过那思想说带领人本身来意见神。
Because Plato's thinking was to bring people to know who God is.
我们可以想象在当时的时候有许多的基督徒甚至是那个领袖，他们也曾经是受过哲学那个思想的影响。
And we can imagine that the Christians then and their leaders were influenced by such philosophy.
我们从中的时候也就可以了解为什么在当时有很多所谓的老师本身在教一些比如不同的那个教导，原因当时的时候就这是他们的文化。
Therefore, we can understand why some church teachers were teaching some different types of philosophy.
我们常讲有一句话，就是条条道路通罗马。
There's an old saying to say that all roads lead to Rome.
基督教的那个教义呢，是透过罗马帝国的那个交通的便利的时候传扬。
And because the transportation was vastly improved during the Romans' control, that's how the gospel spread quickly.
也一样的，那个希罗文化也是透过这个交通的便利的时候，是传扬整个的那个罗马帝国。
And also because of this, the Greco-Roman culture spread quickly.
然后第三点我们需要注意的是，在当时的时候有祭拜偶像和道德的那个影响。
And the third point on the backdrop is that there's idol worship in those days.
在当时的时候，他们本身所祭拜的那个神明，其实跟基督教的神明是很不一样的。
The idols that they worship, the Greeks worship then, is totally different from Christianity.
在哥林多城的那个对面的时候，其实有一座山，是所谓的他们的有一座庙是爱情神的庙在里头。
Near the city of Corinth, there's a mountain to worship the goddess of love.
在那个庙里面的时候，他们有祭拜偶像的那一种的礼仪。
There are ceremonies to worship idols.
在他们的礼仪之后的时候，他们就会有性行为，所以在那个庙里面是有妓女的。
And after the worship, there will be acts of sex, and there are prostitutes there.
有记载说那一座山有超过一千的那个庙妓是在那里。
And it was recorded that on that mountain itself there are about 1,000 prostitutes.
可是这些庙妓因为山毕竟不能容纳整一千个人所以他们就下山了。
Because the temple could not hold so many prostitutes, some of them came down from the mountain.
就在新的那个哥林多城里面的时候就开馆然后就招生意。
And settled in the new city of Corinth and operated there.
所以我们可以想象在当时的时候，那个信徒本身所处的那种的情况。
And we can therefore imagine the cultural backdrops that the Christians were in then.
保罗就跟对哥林多教会信徒这样说。
And Paul told the church of Corinth.
他说：“你们不知道不义的人不能承受神的国吗？不要自己欺骗自己无论是行淫乱的、拜偶像的、奸淫的。”做软童的，软童就是跟那个少年和孩子有那个性行为，青蓝色的，这里是指同性恋 偷窃的、贪心的、醉酒的、辱骂人的或是勒索的都不能承受神的国。所以从这里的时候，我们看到在当时的时候，这个是一个很普遍的那个的情况。
So we see in verse 9 that such immoral acts are very prevalent at that point in time, and Paul has taught the church to avoid all these.
保罗就苦口婆心的去劝勉，叫他们本身呢要洁身，要自爱。
And Paul has taught the church of Corinth to separate themselves from all these.
如果我们看哥林多前书的时候，大概它可以分成这几方面的那个问题。
The issues that we can find in 1 Corinthians are split into these areas.
在第一章到第四章的时候，我们可以看到说他们主要是有那个纷争和分党。
There was a division in the church in verse 1 to 4.
原因是有可能是因着他们是一个是繁荣的大。那个大都市的那个教会，很多人才，很多知识分子。
And that may be because there's many talented Christians from the city of Corinth.
然后在希罗文化的时候，他们常常在那个广场，在一些会场的时候，他们就在传讲和在那个进行辩护。所以这个怎样的时候，他就影响了在教会里面有纷争的那个情况。
And because of the prevalent Greco-Roman culture there, different philosophical ideas may create these divisions in the church.
然后在第十五章的时候，我们就可以看到那个复活的那个问题也提出来。
And in verse 15, there's an issue of resurrection.
然后在中间的时候有道德的问题，还有那个祭拜偶像的问题，这些都是受那当时的那个文化所影响的。
And in between, Paul also raised the issue of immorality and idolatry.
因此呢，保罗在这里的时候，他要传达的一个信息是，在一个充满对立的那个观念、价值和信仰和属灵的那个观的那个社会里面，这些跟基督教都很对立的，基督徒的群体应该如何活出基督身体的那个生活
？And Paul wanted to tell the church that in a situation where there's so much opposing views, how should the church youth live a life in unity?
所以当我们看到哥林多前书的时候，其实我们可以看到在新加坡的情况也蛮类似的。
And we can actually compare it to the modern day Singapore.
我们是大都市，新加坡是一个大都市，大都市里面的教会。
And Singapore is a big city, and we are a church in Singapore.
我们虽然的那种情况并不像在当时的那种祭拜偶像，还有性滥的滥交的那种 的问题可是我们受整个世界的那个的思想或者讯息的影响。
I think our moral culture is not as bad as in those days of Corinth, but we are still being influenced by the different ideas in the world.
因此保罗怎样来劝勉教导那个哥林多信徒呢？可以成为我们本身的一个勉励。
And how Paul has encouraged and taught the church on Corinth can be applied to Singapore.
如果我们看哥林多前书刚才我们所念的那经文的时候，其实它出现了大概三个那个呼召。
And in the verses that we just read, there's three calls that Paul made.
保罗本身处理那整个教会的问题的时候，他先从呼召这一点的时候来做起点。
And when addressing the issues in the church, Paul started with the call.
第一点呢是呼召分别出来。
And the first call is to be for the church to be different.
在第一章第二节的时候，他讲说，哥林多教会的信徒本身是在耶稣基督里面已经是分别为圣、蒙召为圣徒的。
And in verse 1 and 2, Paul says that the church is sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints.
所以我们基督徒本身是被蒙召成为圣徒，而那个圣徒本身不是指没有罪，而是指那个被分别出来。
And we are being called as Christians be saints, and it's not that we are because we are without sin, but we have to be different.
当我们讲说那个蒙召的时候，从讲呼召如果从圣经的角度来说，是神本身对人发出了一个召唤，就是邀请。
And this calling came directly from God.
广义的来说，当人信主的时候，是神拣选召唤那个人来到神的面前。
So generally speaking, when somebody became a Christian, it is because the Lord has called him.
可是狭义的说，神本身也在个人的生命里面的时候来做 calling 做召唤， 让他本身参与神本身的工作，神的计划。
But God also speaks to the individual directly to do His work.
所以当我们讲 calling 的时候，基本上它是一个被动的。所谓是我们是被动啊，被神主动来呼召。
So when we talk about calling, it is the person being called is actually in a passive role.
圣经告诉我们说，我们是被召分别出来不一样的人。
And we are being called and sanctified to be different.
也因着我们是被召的时候，有一个新的身份。圣经告诉我们说，我们成为那个圣徒。
And because we are being called to be Christians, we have to be saints.
然后我们也有一个新的主人。圣经告诉我们说，耶稣基督是他们的主，也是我们的主。
And the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord.
如果我们看那个旧约的时候，当神带领以色列人出埃及到西乃山。
In the Old Testament, the Lord called His people out of Egypt.
当他在那西乃山的时候，神就跟他立约。
And there was a covenant made in Mount Sinai.
他说我要跟你立约，我们要有一个新的一个关系。
And God said there will be a covenant and a new relationship between us.
我耶和华要做你以色列人的神，你要做我的百姓。
The Lord Jehovah will be your God and you will be my people.
然后这些百姓呢，就成为了那个耶和华的选民。
And the people of Israel becomes the people elect.
而当神本身呼召他们出来的时候，就要把他从其他的那个民族分别出来。
And when God did this, He is actually calling His people to out of the people of the rest of the world.
在圣殿里面的时候，也有一些在圣殿有一些的那个器皿，其实是特别预备给神给那个礼仪所用的。
And in the temple, there are special vessels for the special ceremonies.
然后这个礼仪呢，不可以平常人不可以用那些圣殿里面的那种器皿来喝水来剩饭来剩菜不能。
And the ordinary people are not allowed to use these vessels for common use.
被分别出来，在英文里面的时候有不同的那个翻译。
To be set apart has a different meanings in the English versions.
比如 sanctified.
You can call it as sanctified.
Set apart.
Or set apart.
Consecrated, dedicated.
Consecrated, dedicated.
所以你发现在这种的那种观念里面的时候，我们发现神本身在呼召我们，他就要我们跟别人不一样，是为神，然后跟别人不一样。
And with this in mind, it's very clear that God wants His people to be different from the rest of the world.
因此呢，我们在身为基督徒，我们有不同的那个关注，我们不同的生活表现是正确的，是理所当然的。
And therefore, as Christian, it's acceptable for us to be different from the world.
现在逐渐的，人本身会接纳那个同性恋，看作为个人本身的那个性取向，或者是他们自己的选择。
And some people nowadays may think that accepting homosexuality is a personal decision or choice.
可是基督徒当本身面对这样的一个的那个问题的时候，他很自然的说，当他按着那个圣经的那个立场来接受圣经的那立场的时候，跟别人其实不一样，其实是很正常的，也是正确的。
But as a Christians, if we go along the principles as taught in the Bible, then that is a correct decision.
原因是因为当我们被召的时候，我们就是跟别人是不一样的。
That is because when we are called to be different from other people.
在生活中的时候，我们很多时候我们人会以那个成功或者是钱或者身份成为他们在人生里面所看重的。
And in our lives, we may view success and in terms of our wealth as our criteria for success.
可是基督徒本身，当他在人生里面的时候，他的那个起点，他的那个终点的时候，应该是跟别人不一样的，因为我们是被召分别出来的。
But as Christians, we should be setting the goals that is willed by the Lord because we are called to be different.
有时候我们在看那个委身基督，我们有时在回顾我们自己是否有委身基督。
And sometimes when we look back at our commitment to Christ, we ask ourselves, have we done so?
可是委身基督的之前的一个基本的那种心愿哦，那个或者态度其实蛮重要的，就是你愿意跟别人不一样。
But the basic attitude in terms of commitment is the willingness to be different from others.
为了神的缘故，为了我们呼召成为分别出来的缘故的时候，我们愿意跟别人不一样。
And because the Lord called us, and because we are called, we are willing to be different.
如果我们在生命里面的时候，我们根本没有这个很基本的这种的跟别人不一样的那一种的心智，其实我们不需要谈到委身基督的。
And in our spiritual life, if we do not have this kind of attitude, then we don't even need to think about being committed to Christ.
第二个的那个那个呼召呢，是呼召与基督联合。
The second call is to call into the fellowship of Christ.
他记载在那个第一章第九节，他说：“神是信实的，他呼召了你们，是要你们与他的儿子，我们主耶稣基督联合在一起。”
And Paul said in verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
在这里的时候，我们就先看那个上文，是讲什么？
Let's look at the preceding verses.
在上文的时候，我们可以看到说，保罗就为哥林多教会信徒感恩。
And we saw that Paul gave thanks to God for the church of Corinth.
因为第五节的时候，他讲说，你们在耶稣基督里面，凡事都富足。很有口才，知识丰富。
Because the church is in every way and rich in all speech and all knowledge.
在那么多的那个保罗书信里面的时候，你发现很特别的，保罗提出这一方面他们的那个恩赐丰富。
And this is a special mention by Paul in the various letters that he wrote.
我想以保罗本身在写书信的时候，难道这个是他本身的那个很强调的那个很重要的关注吗？
And in all his letters, I think this is one of the points that he wants to emphasize.
我想他重点并不是这个。
But that's not true.
他是提出哥林多教会他们在信服的时候，当时一个事实，就是他们真的有苦差，他们有知识，这两方面也是他们所看重的。
In fact, he just want to raise the point as a contrast that the church is filled with speech and knowledge.
可是这一切他一再强调是在耶稣基督里面的时候，神给他们的。
And he emphasized that these were gifts from the Lord.
他也在强调说，这一切并不是那个最终的那个终点那终点是在那个第七节他说，以致你们怎样呢？你们是迎接盼望主耶稣基督的显现。
But these are not the end point. In verse 7, it says that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
如果我们看哥林多前书的那个后半部的时候，我们知道其实他们当时很看重那个口才和知识的，那成为他们人生的那个价值。
We notice in the book of 1 Corinthians that the Corinth church emphasized a lot on wisdom and knowledge.
他们也以为认为说口才和那个知识是他们属灵的那个的衡量的那个标准。
And if they are able to have knowledge and speak eloquently, they are considered very good Christians.
可是保罗在这里是提醒他们，你不需要那一些，这是神给的，你已经够了，丰富了。
But Paul reminded them that these are not important, and these are merely gifts from God.
你要了解神最终起初的时候开始呼召你，到底要你做什么？
But understand that call, what is in fact God's calling to you to be?
他说他呼召你是要你们与他的儿子主耶稣基督联合在一起。
And he reminded them that their calling is to be in fellowship with Christ.
不是才干和恩赐。
And not your gifts and your capabilities.
才干和恩赐最主要，它成为一个工具。帮助我们殷勤等候主，帮助我们在生命里面的时候能可以无可指责。
And such are only used as a gift for us to wait until the coming of our Lord.
在生命里面的时候，我们是被呼召跟耶稣基督联合。
And in our life we are called in fellowship with Christ.
在那个这个字的时候 ，fellowship of His Son 有不同的那个解读。
And there's a different interpretation for the meaning of fellowship of his son.
比如 fellowship, friendship, relationship, association, and communion, 这些都是关系到那一个关系的。
For example, the four points highlighted are on relationship.
所以当我们看到这里的时候，其实神呼召我们有一个很重要的，就是跟神透过主耶稣基督的时候，跟神建立起一个很密切的一种的那个关系。
And we are, when we are called, we are,it's very important that we are called into a relationship with God.
然后第二点的时候，我们看到说 fellowship 其实还有另外一个的那个可以翻译的是，其实是 partnership.
And we can interpret it as the fellowship as partnership too.
表示说神呼召我们的时候，不单是跟他有一个亲密的关系，然后从中的时候也跟他一起的配搭，一起的同工。
And beyond an intimate relationship with God, we must partner with God.
当我回想这里的时候，我们呼召跟耶稣基督联合，应该是常常成为我们思考和反省的一个起点。
And it is important for us to remind ourselves that our starting point is always in fellowship with Christ.
在基督教的圈子里面的时候，我们有两个的那个那种的心态啊，基督徒的心态。
And in the church, there's a very common, two common attitudes can be noticed.
我们讲一个第一个的是消费者的那个心态。
And the first attitude is consumerism.
消费者的心态是讲说，我去买东西，我买那些产品是来满足我自己的需要的。
And the consumer has the attitude to satisfy his need when he goes out to look for something.
所以我们本身选择我们要的。
And we choose what we want.
然后那个东西本身要那个符合我我本身的那个需要，或者是我认为值得的那个代价。
And it must suit my needs or the value that I'm sacrificing for.
如果这个产品它那个觉得不值得，觉得不能满足的时候，我就丢掉，然后我就换。
And if that goods cannot satisfy these requirements, I will discard it.
当我们基督徒成为来到教会敬拜的时候，有时我们没有察觉，我们自己有点消费者的那种的心态。
And as Christians, as when we come to worship, sometimes we bring unconsciously bring out with us a consumer attitude.
我们在敬拜里面，我们在这间教会里面的时候，我们要找到一个东西是我们要的。
And we worship in this church, we are actually looking for something that suits our needs.
我会把孩子放在这间教会，因为我觉得这间教会的儿童主日学好。
I would leave my kids in the Sunday school because it's good.
然后之后呢，我就到别间教会，因为我觉得那间教会的信息好。
And I'll go to another church because the message preached there is good.
所以当我们抱着那个消费者的心态的时候，其实他那个重点呢，就很难在于接连基督跟神建立起一个好的关系。
And if as Christians we adopt a consumer attitude, it's very hard for us to be in fellowship with Christ.
跟基督联合不是单单我跟神和个别的一个关系。
In fellowship with Christ is not simply a relationship between you and God.
跟基督联合是我们这个群体跟神建立起一个密切的一个关系。
But it's a fellowship with the congregation, with God.
另外一种的心态呢，是义工的心态。
Another attitude is the volunteer attitude.
我们讲我们在教会里面我们参与侍奉。
And we volunteered for ministerial work in church.
我们做义工原因是因为我们觉得在那义工里面的时候，我们看到有些的价值或者是有些的意义。
And when we minister, we saw the value of our work.
有些人做义工的时候，因为自己本身时间其实比较多，其实无妨参与做事工。
Some people are unable to minister because of lack of time.
有些人做那个义工呢，原因是因为他可以真的是增加自己的 profile 哈。
And some people volunteer for ministry work to raise their own profile.
对自己以后的那个生活工作其实是蛮不错的。
Which will look good on their resume in their careers.
可是你发现呢，无论是消费者心态，或者是那个义工的那个心态基本上它很难帮助我们人委身基督。
But with attitudes like consumerism and a volunteer mindset, it's very hard for us to commit to Christ.
因为在教会里面的时候，在敬拜里面，很多时候不一定让我们自己满意的。
Because in our service and ministry, we may not be satisfied.
在侍奉里面的时候，有时我们需要走多一里路不是我们需要付出那个代价的。
And there are additional sacrifices when we minister.
所以当我们做如此的时候，很自然的时候，那个我们的那个委身连接基督，那个就重要了。
And therefore, it's important for us to be rooted in fellowship with Christ.
然后第三点呢，是呼召，是呼召坚守托付。
And the third point is called to fulfill the task.
在第一章第十七节，他讲说，基督差遣我不是要我去施洗，而是去传福音。
In verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
为什么保罗在这里讲这句话呢？
Why did Paul mention it here?
从第十节的时候，我们可以看到说，保罗就劝勉那个信徒本身说，他说你们大家要同心。
Because in verse 10, Paul appealed to the church to be united.
这里的同心，如果我们看到英文的那个翻译，他讲说 all of you agree.
And the English version says all of you agree.
他说，保罗劝勉说，在我们中间的时候，我们应该有一个共同的一个共识。
And that the whole church be united.
我们在中间不要分党。
And not be divided.
所以他的同心比较是我们大家 agree， 我们大家同意。我们在我们中间的时候，我们不要那个分党。
That amongst us we all agree to be not divided.
然后他本身讲说，在心思在意念上我们要团结。
But be united in the same mind and same judgment.
原因是他讲在中间里面说有纷争。
Because it has been reported there were divisions among them.
在教会里面就有不同的人的时候，他们所谓的那个分党就有不同的那个观点。
Because there are people in the church with the different mindsets.
有人讲他是自己是属于保罗，或者是亚波罗，或者基法，或者是基督派。
Some say I follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas.
那些讲他本身是保罗的，保罗派的，有可能是外邦信徒，因为保罗是外邦人的使徒。
For those who say I follow Paul, they may be the Gentiles.
那个亚波罗本身是犹太人，可是他是来自亚历山大。
But an Apollo is a Jew, but he came from Alexandria.
他有那个他受高深教育然后他是很有魅力的一个讲员。
And Apollos was highly educated and very charismatic.
所以他本人的那个的出现的时候，我想很自然的会吸引好些人的时候来愿意去聆听，来跟随他。
And because of this, he attracted a lot of people who followed him.
基法呢是彼得就是他可能是属于那些比较传统的那个犹太人，可是也是基督徒。
And another name for Peter is Cephas, and his followers were the Jews.
然后这是这些领袖在当时的时候制造了这种分党的那种情况吗？我想不一定。
And these leaders may not be the cause of the division in the church then.
很可能的是因为在当时的时候，他们有不同的那个观点，然后人性的那种分党的倾向的时候，他们就讲我是属于这个，我是属于那，大家就 group 起来。
But more because of the different attitudes and mindsets among the church people and the church, and they have decided to form into their own groups.
保罗在这里呢，就用三个问题就跟他讲说，他说耶稣基督是分开的吗？保罗是为你钉十字架吗？你是门受洗归入保罗的名下吗？
And in verse 13, Paul asked, "Then is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?"
他主要就要带出真正成就那个救恩的是耶稣基督。
And he wanted to emphasize that salvation comes from the Lord.
当我们讲，既然他是那个成就那个救赎的耶稣基督，我们应当的是以他在他名下，在他的权柄之下，而不是我们个人分担。
And since Christ is our Savior, then all should fall under Christ.
似乎当时他们本身注重那个洗礼
And at that point, in those days, baptism was a very is an important thing.
保罗就感谢神，他没有为太多人洗礼。
And Paul was thankful that he did not baptize many.
我们了解那个在哥林多前书的时候，其实保罗面对好一些的服事上的那个难题。
And Paul had many challenges in his ministry.
他曾经在那个哥林多教会。或者是他可能是创办人之一吧，可是有一段时间过后他就离开了。
Paul may be one of the founders of the Church of Corinth, but he left.
当他离开的时候，就有不同的人来到中间就做教导。
And others came in to teach.
有些人他们就否定那个保罗他的权柄，他说他是逼迫那个基督徒的，他没有权柄做那个使徒，他的教导是那个不可信。
And some has refuted Paul's authority as an apostle and that his teachings were not correct.
所以在保罗会在那个哥林多前书的时候就为自己那个使徒的那个权柄来辩护。
And Paul has defended his authority as an apostle here.
在当时的时候似乎他们分党的时候有一个东西一个特征是他们非常看重的。
And at that point when they are divided, there's one point that caused it.
就是洗礼。
And that point is baptism.
如果我们是保罗，到底我们面对这情形，我们的心态会是什么
？And if we are Paul, how we feel?
洗礼很重要。
And it's important ceremony.
洗礼的人数如果越多的时候，其实是蛮激励人心哈。
The more Christians we baptize, the more encouraged we are.
因为洗礼的那个数字本身是成绩单。
Because the numbers that was baptized is a reflection of our success.
所以那个成绩单本身的时候，你就肯定了那个教会的领袖或者是那个牧者本的那个成就。
That may be a report book for the leaders of the church then.
或者是当你本身洗礼的时候，那一些人因做是你洗礼的时候，他们本可能比较服你哈。
And it may be because if you have baptized someone, they will follow you more faithfully.
所以很属灵的一个重要的一个礼仪，也可以成为一个为了自己的利益而所做的一些工作。
So such a spiritual ceremony that of baptism can become a dividing point.
保罗会不会有一种的压力？当在面对这种情形的时候，我想多洗几个礼吧。
Maybe Paul may be compelled to also baptize.
至少我在教会里面有几个那个支持我的人多几位吧。
So they have more faithful followers.
保罗没有这样讲，他在十七节就讲说，耶稣基督差遣我不是要我去洗礼，而是去传福音。
But Paul did not say so. In verse 70, he said that Christ sent me to preach the gospel.
当我们在侍奉里面的时候，我们面对这种那个挫折，对面对这种的挣扎的时候，我们是回到那起点。保罗就是这样做。
And likewise with Paul, when we face with a spiritual struggle, we need to go back to the original call of the Lord's commitment.
保罗不是讲他本身不看重洗礼，可是他清楚他自己的那呼召就是要去传福音。
Paul is not saying that baptism is not important, but he's very clear about his calling that is to preach.
有可能因着他本身这样的一种忠于他自己的那个传福音的那个使命的时候，他就少了那一种的洗礼的那个数字哦，失去了一些的人心。
And because of his emphasis on his calling to preach, he may lose out in the baptism numbers.
可是保罗抓准了他要做的是神还要他做的。
But Paul grabs clearly the task that the Lord wants him to fulfill.
在教会里面侍奉是如此。
And that is how we should serve in the church.
在有不对事工有不同的看法、不同的理解、不同的期望。
And we have different hopes and expectations for our ministry work.
我们也很自然的是盼望说，在教会里面的事工的时候还有成长，所以人数的那个数字其实也是蛮重要的。
And we do hope for our church to grow too, and that is an important number.
可是面对这种的情的时候，我们常常就面对一些的压力，我们要怎样去面对呢？回到起点。
But when we are faced with challenges and struggles and opposition, we must encourage ourselves to go back to the original calling.
感谢神在今天早上在这里的时候，让我们从三方面来一起来思想。
And we thank the Lord that He has given us these three points to think about.
我们可以讲说那个呼召是一个起点。
We can say that the call to commitment is the starting point.
这呼召本身是一个是我们要追求的那一个数字，那个属灵的那个数字。
And this calling can be a spiritual number.
或者是那个呼召本身是当我们在困惑的时候，我们要做决定的时候，或者是让我们有力量来坚持的时候，回到的那一个起初的那个就是呼召的那个起点。
And we must be reminded to go back to the original reason why we are called.
盼望在新的一年里的时候，我们有新的一个开始。
And we hope that we have a new beginning in this new year.
我们呢对呼召成为那个分别出来与基督联合，或者是坚守那个托付，其实我们这都不是新的事情。
And whether we are called to be different or to be in the fellowship of Christ or to fulfill the task, these are not new.
可是真正呢，在生命里面的活出来，又是另外一件事情。
But to practice it in our spiritual life is a different matter.
盼望在这三点的时候，我们不但一起来有一个共识，可是我们也成为我们常常回顾的一个的一个重要的三方面。
With this three points, I hope we can all agree to constantly go back to review and to practice on.
每年的那个第一个组织的时候，我们会为在新的一年的工作服侍的人来祷告。
And with every start of the new year, we will pray for those who have ministered.
有点像, 就职礼,
It's a little bit like...
在中文里面, 有那个小小的那个几张的纸, 它本身是有谈到三堂崇拜的, 服侍者。
There's an insert in your bulletin which talks about which lists down the people who have served in the three services.
最后的两页, 是怀迎崇拜的, 侍奉者。
And the people that has helped out in the ME services in the last is in the last two pages.
这个侍奉的那个名单, 不一定完整哈, 如果你的名字没有在其中, 也盼望, 你不要见怪。
And the list may not be exhaustive, so if your name is not there, please do not feel bad about it.
新的一年新的那个 薪资, 我们就用, 那个一分钟的时间哈。 我们就用这三方面作为我们跟神回应的一个心智。
And let us use a minute of our time to respond to the Lord.
无论在名单, 在名单里面的时候, 有没有你的名字, 让我们个别都来到神面前, 来, 来回应。
Whether your name appears in the list or not, please respond and reflect with the Lord.
我先说一分钟, 其实不是 你们会觉得很短哦。
I'll use 1 minute, which may be short.
可是真的老实说一分钟, 对我们来说有些人会觉得太久了。
But 1 minute may also be too long for some of us.
可是无论怎样, 我们真的是用, 那个一点的时间, 我们安静在神的面前, 我们为自己祷告, 过后我做一个祷告。
But let us quieten our hearts with this minute and pray to the Lord. Dear Father, we thank you.
你在万人中, 你拣选我们成为, 基督徒。
For you have chosen us out of so many people.
你所付上的代价是透过耶稣基督死在十字架上为我们成就的。
And you paid the price for the by the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us.
你呼召我们不是要我们单单只是一个敬拜的一个基督徒, 你要我们在生命里面是分别出来的。
You called us not only to worship you, but to be set apart for you.
你要我们在生命里面的时候, 我们跟你, 建立一个紧密的一个关系, 同时也跟你一起同工。
To be in intimate fellowship with you, Lord, and to be your partner.
我们把在今年, 大家一起侍奉的弟兄姐妹, 都交托在主你自己的手中。
And we entrust the work of all the brothers and sisters in your hand in this coming new year.
让我们都有, 有同样的那一种的, 的心智。
And let us be united in one heart.
让我们一起侍奉的时候, 我们, 不但是那个, 那个盼望我们能成长, 可是更重要的就是, 我们在生命里面的时候, 我们建立起那个属灵的那个素质。
That as we serve, we will grow in spiritually more mature, and our characters will our spiritual character will improve.
我们在人生中不同的阶段,
in the different life stages of our life,
我们可能是面对大考,
we may be facing exams,
或者是我们面对孩子的养育, 或者是在工作上的忙碌,
or we may be raising our kids or busy with our family.
求主你帮助我们在忙碌中的时候, 我们就回到你起初呼召我们的那个, 呼召。
As we are busy with our own lives, remind us to go back to the initial reason why you call us.
这是因为这起初就是你要, 为我们所预备, 要我们成就的。
Because this is what you have prepared for us to fulfill.
我们把我们每个人都恭敬地交托, 求主你自己洁净, 求主你自己使用。
And we put ourselves before you, Lord, to sanctify us.
我们有软弱的, 我们恳求你自己加强, 给我们力量, 来胜过。
For those who are weak among us, please strengthen them.
我们内心里面有许多担忧的, 恳求你帮助我们除去, 让我们在你里面有喜乐, 有力量。
And for those who are worried, please give us your joy and your strength.
服侍你是你给我们的恩典, 我们感谢。
to be able to serve is a blessing from you, Lord.
愿在新的一年里面的时候，透过服事，透过一起的配搭，我们更能经历主。
And we thank you. And in the new year of service ahead, we look forward to working in fellowship with you.
奉主耶稣的名祷告。
And we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
For every one of us were called by God, called to be different in our acts and thoughts, called into fellowship with one another through our relationships, in which we do.